May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 159. How willing was Jesus to die, that we fellow sinners might live. The life that they could not take away, how ready was Jesus to give. They pierced his hands and his feet. His hands and his feet he resigned. The pangs of his body were great, but greater the pangs of his mind. Hymn 159.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Gospel according to Luke, reading chapter 9, the ninth chapter of Luke. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the dust, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and some that Elias had appeared, and others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had that need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, there came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled, and they were taken up of fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here excuse me, which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, and behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child, and though a spirit taketh him, and he is suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all these things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them. They perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto him, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless his own word and help us to pray. O kind and most merciful God, we surely come before thee this day, and Lord, we come looking, we come seeking, Lord, that which no other man can give us. We come, Lord, seeking that thou wilt bless poor sinners by sealing their peace and pardon of all their sin and shame. And Lord, thou knowest that includes me also. For Lord, how poor and needy we are by nature. And Lord, how dependent we are upon thee for eternal life. For Lord, we need to know that we have eternal life. For Lord, what a precious thing that is. This body will surely die. This life that we now live will surely fade away. But Lord, if thou hast begun that new work in us and changed our heart and renewed our will and sealed our peace with God, O Lord, what a blessed exchange that is, and what perfection we see in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of whom we have been singing this morning. And Lord, should there be any found amongst us who are not particularly interested in what we've sung this morning, but they might yet be stirred up and search their own hearts before thee, that they might surely say, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven, are my credentials clear? Lord, oh, we ask of thee that thou work great wonders in the day in which our lot is cast. For Lord, thou knowest we are full of fear and are troubled much with regard to the present situation among the churches everywhere, and ask of thee, Lord, thou wilt surely appear for us, and Lord, that many, yea, many, may be called by thy grace, and like sheep, they might hear thy voice. For thou hast said, a stranger will they not follow. And Lord, we confess that over the years have we not been following strangers, Lord, as individuals, following strangers sometimes within the churches, and sometimes, Lord, following strangers who are completely of the world. And Lord, thou knowest the stranger does not know one little bit what we need to feed upon. But Lord, bless the hungry, Lord. Bless the starving, Lord, that thou wilt yet come again and feed them. and that thou, Lord, might bless the ministry, yea, of those under shepherds, by giving such food that is needful for never dying souls, that they might love thee as the true shepherd of the sheep. Lord, we come this day, and our need seems to be exceeding great. And we ask thee, Lord, we may have such a blessing as David speaks of in the 23rd Psalm. For he said, my cup runneth over. Lord, thou dost call thy sheep out. Thou dost give them to drink. Thou dost give to them a full cup. So, Lord, we need a full salvation. Lord, we can't do with a part of salvation that is of grace, the part of our own works. Lord, it must be 100%, yea, of thy grace and grace alone. We want to feel thee near, Lord, holding us, supporting us, in drinking of thy wondrous love and mercy, that our poor souls may be revived and replenished, yea, with the heat and burden of the day. We ask, Lord, that thou would come, especially amongst thy people here at Swaversey, and, Lord, they might grow numerically, they might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Thou knowest, Lord, how the hand of death has visited this cause of truth here. Thou hast taken one from their company, the oldest of them. But, Lord, we pray that thou wipe away the tears of those mourners. Why, the dear family must they realise and know that she was of a good age, and it must be somewhat expected. But, Lord, it's still their mother. It's still their grandmother. It is still one that was lovely and precious to them. Therefore, Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt come and fill that vacuum that they feel in the cause of truth here and in their families with thy own self and blessing. We pray, dear Lord, thou might raise up many more, yea, to reach such a maturity of age, and those who will be true mothers in Israel within these walls, and there may be true pillars of prayer found amongst them, Lord. We ask, Lord, that thou thyself might be a power in their midst and a fire round about, and that, Lord, they may be protected from every evil that is available in this world. For, Lord, we are so susceptible to them all. And, Lord, bless the dear children. And, Lord, come in the fullness of the blessing and touch their young hearts to make them aware of what Satan is. As Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And Lord, how can we know what are his devices and what are the works of the Lord? Make it plain and make it clear. For Lord, oh, the blessing of the Lord is truth. But his devices, O Lord, are full of lies and deceit. We cast thee, Lord, to come and help one now to preach the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Lord, how can we do anything We can't do anything, Lord, without thee. But oh, we ask of thee, as we come here today, we might come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, that thou might work among them, and the work may be seen as not of man, but oh, of God, and God alone. We ask, Lord, that thou bless the ministry among the people here. And Lord, as various men come, Lord, we ask of thee, there may be a continuity in the gospel. Because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is not the author of confusion. Oh, so Lord, look upon one this day. Forbid it, Lord, that we should sow confusion amongst thy dear people here. And Lord, though we have not much and feel not to be anything particular, but we would remember, Lord, that when there were many indeed listening to thee and they were in need of food, it was said, but there is a lad here. And he brought that, Lord, that little which thou did bless and make enough for all. So, Lord, we feel there is but a lad here today, and ask that thou, thy rich blessing, might copiously fall upon us. But, Lord, as we would leave the throne of grace, we ask of thee to blot out, Lord, all our sins and all our transgressions, for they are so many. They are so many, Lord. Blot them out as with a thick cloud. Oh, we do ask of thee to pardon our sins. For what a solemn thing to prove to be a castaway, having preached the gospel to others. Lord, oh, make us one in Christ Jesus, thine own dear Son. Remember, Lord, the diaconate in this place, and ask, Lord, thou bless them, give them wisdom, give them understanding. Spare them, Lord, from rebellion amongst the people, but rather, Lord, they might shine as lights before them, as not being just two men or whoever they might be, but the Lord's own servants whom thou would use. So, Lord, we ask of thee that thou would cause the people here, both young and old alike, to pray for them. Oh, that that twofold precept might be kept. Brethren, pray for us. So may they pray for the diaconate, Lord, and those who come in the ministry here. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt use them to unfold the word to them and to keep the people by the power of God. O Lord, do hear our poor cries. Be our helper, be our strength and portion, as we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 985. Oh, ye despairing sinners, hear. Ye thirsty, sin-sick souls, draw near. Here's water, whose all-powerful stream shall quench your thirst and wash you clean. Its healing power has always brought beyond the reach of human thought. Hymn 985.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would seek to direct your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, and reading the verses 6 and 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And they saw no man save Jesus only. How we need to be directed and adjusted by the blessed Holy Spirit, that we, like the disciples, may see no man save Jesus only. How we need that glorious optician. Oh, that our eyes might be focused in the right place. For if our eyes naturally are not correct and need correction, how soon we misjudge everything that is before us. Go into the wrong direction. Stumble over things that we know need to stumble over, and how we can soon walk into things that will harm us and hurt us. And so it is spiritually. We need indeed the Lord to come and direct our sight and to direct our faith in the right direction. Oh, what a precious thing faith is, to really believe. And ever remember, I cannot tell you to believe. That my message here is that you need to believe. And only one can give you that faith to believe. But ever remember this, that grace is, that believing only comes by the grace of God. How many might think they have faith, therefore they have grace. That is not so, is it? No. The grace of God is the gift that He alone can give us, that divine favour that bestows upon us those things what we did not have heretofore. Therefore I say, oh, without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never believe. I say, is this your prayer this morning, friends? Have you gone down upon your knees with regard to it, that thou would bestow like His grace upon you? I say, He and He alone can't do it. Oh, because we do need to believe. As we sometimes sing, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. How we need this unbelief to be taken away, which is not the produce of grace, but it is the produce of our poor fallen nature. And how deceptive it really is. But coming to the Word, it is a beautiful, much teaching in regard to the Transfiguration on the Mount before those dear disciples. That is why I read the two read the portion in Luke to give us further instruction and light upon it. For he teaches us, I say, through his word. For we read here that when they were Jesus transfigured before them, he was a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." I say, his beloved Son, in whom God Almighty is well pleased, out of Christ. The Lord cannot look down upon us with pleasure. He cannot look down upon us in pity and mercy, but no, rather, in whom he is well pleased because of Jesus' sake and because of his love. In whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, would to God that that word would come with power to every one of us here this morning, both young and old alike, that we might hear his voice. How conscious one feels that, oh, the voice of this poor man may not be heard as such, but only as his messenger unto you. Hear ye him. And then we read here, and when the disciples heard it, that was the voice from heaven, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Let us be careful what we say or think of those disciples. My friend, the Lord understood their position, their frailty, how they feared when they heard that voice. Hast thou ever heard the voice from heaven that caused you to fear and to tremble? It may not have been the voice audibly. It may be a voice as through the force of circumstances in your life. Things that come upon you totally unexpected. Things you've never thought of. And oh, how soon we realize how small and frail our lives are. And yet I say how responsible we are for all our past life loaded with sins. Oh, I say, brought conviction is brought home by the Holy Spirit into a poor sinner's heart, there to hear the voice of God. Has it not caused you to fear and tremble before him? And what can I do about it? Friend, we read here that they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. They realized, oh, him who they heard saw them and knew everything about them. He knows everything about you this morning and where the scene will end. Hear ye him. I say, what is the Lord speaking to you and what is he speaking to me? Can we afford to brush it aside and say that is nothing? It's only vain imagination. I say, what are we hearing? Is it the voice of condemnation because of all our sin and all our shame? Those sins that we have been involved in and taken part in as we thought unknown to anybody? Why, I say, the Lord sees into the very crevices of our heart. And when we hear his voice, are we not brought to realize this is Almighty God, but I am a poor, fallen, wretched sinner. born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I did not come here because I wanted to be here, they might well have said, but Jesus brought us there. Sinner, Jesus never brings you to the wrong place. He brings you to that place to teach you and lead you in paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. He leads you in those paths, yea, for his honour and for his glory. For surely the whole situation is shone with the glory of the Lord. But the word here, it says, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. I say, dost thou know what that means amidst the scene of sorrow and grief, feeling conviction and tempted that your sins have surpassed any hope of redemption whatsoever? He comes and touches the poor sinner. They have fallen down, but my friend, it's Jesus that lifts us up, that lifts us up. Would Jesus lift you up, poor sinner, if he had not meant to love you and assure you that he'll put matters right for you, even your deepest and gravest sins? He came and touched them and lifted them up. Blessed touch, my friend, is that the Lord Jesus does give to us. It makes the total difference to us. As the Lord came and touched you, though you have feared him so much, touched you by raising up a hope in your soul that he will pardon you and forgive you, not now only, but continually. Does he come and touch you and make you a different person to what you were before you heard that voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased? I say, is not this the Holy Spirit's work, that he will cause us to bow before him in holiness and godly reverence? Oh, when God speaks to a poor sinner, does he not indeed dispel with that pride in a poor man that thinks he can speak to God like speaking to a neighbour over the fence, where he brings to that point to realise he is God and we are sinners? He came and touched them, friends. He imparted life. He imparted comfort to them. Yea, he came and touched them and changed their whole life. He turns us inside out and upside down, as Mr. Frank Gorton used to say. He came and touched them. They were changed persons, were they not, from that time onward? Yes, and when they had lifted up their eyes, why, they saw no man save Jesus only. For he touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Arise. And what we to understand by this, to arise? That we are not to be static, but we are to be directed in a fresh and a new way. We're not to be static and say, I can do nothing about my salvation, because it is a free and sovereign grace. It's not that at all, is it? Arise, my friend, it is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes that will make us afraid too, won't it? To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be now for many years you have been afraid to follow him, feeling it would be an embarrassment with regard to your former friends and partners in sin. Fearing indeed that you may be scorned and ridiculed, laughed at, or even persecuted. May have been afraid that they may take some repercussions upon you to take away the joys and pleasures that have been bestowed upon you in the past, separated from you and disowned you, because I say they have not known the touch, they have not heard the voice say, arise. My friend, what a difference it makes. So when your past feelings and troubles here are dispelled, arise. There's power, my friends, is there not, in the word? And we do need that power, because we have no power of our own. But the power is real and gives us strength to do what we could not do before. Power indeed. Oh, to stand before our former company and be able to say, like the spouse, this is my beloved and this is my friend. This the Lord has shown to me, that he's not just a man on earth, but verily the Son of God. That verily he is he whom God the Father sent into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. I say, this is my beloved Son. Yea, it was not you that brought him here, but God Almighty the Father sent him, that he might suffer, bleed and die in the place and stead of his people. Why, he came and touched them. And they lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. Previously, Peter said, it is good for us to be here, for he wist not what to say. Have you not been in those places where you can say, I am but a poor sinner, but it's good for me to be here. Now I've seen something I've never seen before, and can say, all is well if Christ is mine. Yes, it's good for us to be here. I believe he really meant it, though he did not know how to express himself. Yes, he surely did, and say it was good for us to be here. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, that is good to be there at a place where you can see no man. Have eyes for no man save Jesus only. It was good that the multitude should come and be found seeking for Jesus. Some might mock it and some might question it. Let us not be found in either place. But what does it mean for you, and what does it mean for me? Yet hard men speak of them, but my eyes see him and behold him. My hear of him by that wondrous voice from heaven, as God the Father speaking. Oh, that this is none other than my own dear Son. The Lord will not allow his people to live face downward all the time. What I mean is this. He will not allow them to be found looking in any other direction than to Jesus. Sometimes we've come across such souls that they can never look up at all. And some indeed have implied that they are justified by such a posture. But that is not really so, is it? We can never be justified when we are looking really away from Jesus. It's when he comes and touches us and says, "For you, poor sinner, I did come and suffer, bleed and die. Yes. But you indeed, I come to raise you up out of the dust, out of hopelessness, out of fear, out of dread." They lifted up their eyes and sought no man save Jesus only. Oh, to look upon that dear face of his, and thus to be assured of this, that not only did he come to seek and save mankind, but I am included amongst that number. Yes, as good Mr. Moat said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Friends, they lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. A changed world, a changed situation. They can't go back to the former situation anymore. But oh, I say, to lift you up, to see him as that bright and shining light in her life. Yea, to follow him. I say, who are we following to die? Some might say, well, I am following the strict Baptists and those who attain, or those who seek after the gospel standard situation. Friend, that may seem good in the letter of the word, but you know, you want more than that. You need the application of those things that our forebears have stood for. They didn't seek any a great name for themselves or seek that men after should follow them, but they sought that dear name of Jesus, who suffered, bled and died for them, who called them by his electing love and grace, yea, that they may be found of him. That is a good place to be in, you know. Yes, oh why. If that blessed, we hope that blessed day will come for every one of us here, when we shall see him face to face in glory. It will not spare, he will not favour us and look upon us with favour, because we have got a certain label upon our lapel. My friend, nothing of the sort. But surely it will be to this poor man I will look, even unto him who's a broken heart and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. I say, they lifted up their eyes and sought no man save Jesus only. Why, it is he that had done this for them. My friend, it was he that brought them up into this mountain. It was for this purpose he brought you here. A mountain, it may be, of difficulty. And it wasn't a waste of time. It was the only way in which he could teach you the things he wanted to teach you. It wasn't priority. Excuse me. It wasn't priority treatment for them above the other disciples, but they needed it. Oh, bless his dear name, sinner. The Lord knows what you need. He knows how to hold us up, and he knows how to hold us down. They saw no man save Jesus only. Oh, do you come this morning and have to say, Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. To look on Jesus only. No beside, no rival. Friend, how often we've had to grieve of our foolishness because we've looked on at other things that can do our souls no good, and they only become robbers of our better joys. They saw no man save Jesus only. If he wanted his disciples to see something else beside, he would have done. But for this purpose he came into this world, to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's Jesus only that can do it, is it not? You ask Lady Huntingdon if it's not so. Jesus sought me when a stranger, travelling from the throne of God. Oh, when my soul was in danger, why, he was there, he came, and he interposed by his precious blood. I say, this is Jesus only. He never refrains. He never withdraws from his work, but carries it on. He carries it on. Jesus only. We may have looked back over life's journey and seen this, that we've had these times before, and it seems as if the blessings have faded away. And we've been tempted, all our previous knowledge and comforts were all in vain. But my friend, oh, is it not this? You want the Lord to come again. Those blessed seasons, they seem to grow further and further apart. But friends, he has promised this. I'll see you again. Oh, what a mercy. The last visit will never be your last, but he says, I'll see you again. But the point I want to make is this. They lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. They saw him again. They saw him with a clearer vision than they had before. They saw him again with a greater love in their heart than they had before, because they had a better view of him. They'd seen him in his glorious translation when he was translated on the mount and saw his heavenly glory. But when they lifted up their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glorious humanity. The child of God will not be left to separate the two, but rather see him in his humility and his love. Oh, that you might say, there's Jesus in the sinner's place. Oh, I say, what a glorious scene is that. Jesus only. And this time, dear man, why soon the time will come when he will be taken and falsely accused by all his enemies and then crucified, yea, with those thieves on the cross. Preferred to be, they preferred the thief, Barabbas, to be freed and pardoned than the Lord Jesus Christ, who needed no pardoning grace because he was sinless and pure. To lift up our eyes and see no man save Jesus only. He suffered, my friends. He bled and died for sin, but not his own. To lift up our eyes and see Jesus only, suffering in my place and in my stead. Oh, I say, heaven's brightest glory, sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. Why, Jesus only. Oh, they did behold, and what a scene that was. Here we find Jesus. He opened their eyes, and it says, save Jesus only. But where was Elias gone? Where was Moses now? They were very meaningful people unto them. And I say, why, they looked upon these men as icons, did they not? And I say, the Lord will not share his glory, not with another. I say, unless we're kept, we can so easily make an idol of man, make a god of man. Or put it this way, we may put a man on a par with Jesus. Friends, that would never do. Because that very man you may have in view, he needed the Lord Jesus Christ only, as well as you. Oh, how he'd need to be regulated and controlled by his Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus only. Then all other men must sink, yes, on a level, yes, as though with those who are saved by grace. Jesus only. John went on the Isle of Patmos. He had that glorious vision of that people, and there were a number which no man could number. And it was declared, these are they which have come up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus only, my friend, was that Lamb. Oh, what a number that was. Every kindred, tribe and tongue, a number that no man could number. Oh, could we but see clearly that we were amongst that number in that glorious vision, those who are included. We might well say, but I am not worthy to be numbered amongst that people. And neither could any of the others say that. But each one could say, he is worthy that suffered, bled and died upon Calvary. Yes, Jesus only. We live here below at present, but surely did he not come to take his people home to glory? And he could not take them home to glory without pardoning and forgiving love. He couldn't take them us home to glory as we are, but only as those who are washed by Jesus only. Friend, bless his dear name, he that singled you out and thus washed you in his precious blood, pardoned and forgave all your sins. He hasn't left anything for us to do to justify ourselves, because we couldn't do even a little speck of it. It was Jesus only who completely washed away our sins. Even as Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, "And I am complete in him." I like that word, you know. Complete in Jesus Christ. If a thing is not complete, there's something missing. And there's something missing, then the Lord indeed will be brought in and say, "How is it you're in this state and condition, incomplete?" But no, "He lifted up the eyes and saw no man save Jesus only," as they were complete in him. Why? They were complete debtors to him. And dare you say otherwise? Complete indeed, dependent on him to guide you and direct you in life's journey. Yes. Only Jesus only can bring us safe to heaven at last. That word is always a special word to me. In John 14, where he's, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." What will it we shall need when we come down to die, whatever age we are? Friends, we'll need Jesus, and Jesus only, to take us to heaven. And he has promised it to be so. And my friend, he'll be there in the place and state of every one of his dear people who believe in nobody else save Jesus only. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Woodhams will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day Mr. Hope will not be able to come as he is still too unwell. God willing, there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Ince will preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 1012. "Himself he cannot save, insulting foe 'tis true, the words a gracious meaning have, though meant in scorn by you." Hymn 1012.
and forgive all our poverty and frailties. And Lord, cover us with that mantle of forgiveness. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.